WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News brief. Just hours before President Trump's new tariffs were set to take effect, he announced a new higher round on many countries that'll kick in next Thursday. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The tariff on goods from China remains at around 40%, and President Trump signed a separate executive order raising the tariff on imports from Canada to 35% immediately.
Still no word on a motive, but a 28-year-old teacher has confessed to killing a husband and wife at an Arkansas state park while they were hiking with their two young daughters, State Police Colonel Mike Hager.
We do believe he acted alone. We have absolutely no reason to believe that there's anyone else involved.
Deadly flooding swept the Northeast. This driver had to stop near Baltimore.
I've never seen it like this before. Once I came across that railroad track and got here, I figured I could keep going, but I couldn't.
A 13-year-old died when he was swept into a drain pipe in Maryland. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A hazy shade of summer will linger through at least noon today. The DNR has extended its air quality advisory statewide thanks to smoke drifting in from Canadian wildfires. It runs through noon, however, officials say the situation will be reassessed each day, and the poor air quality could last through the weekend. With the unhealthy air, officials say everyone, especially those in sensitive groups, should cut back on outdoor activities. Contract talks between Milwaukee police and city leaders continue. One of the things officers want is a 3-year raise retroactive to 2023. The union calls the city's latest 9% offer insulting and warns that low patrol staffing is harming public safety downtown. Chief Jeffrey Norman put out a statement supporting the officers. He's urging for a fair and quick resolution. Norman himself was reappointed in July with a salary boost to $243,000 a year. After a 95-mile journey, Quad Carl is about to roll up to the Capitol. Terry Barr has more about an effort to highlight the impact health care cuts could have on Wisconsin's most vulnerable.
He is rolling into Madison with a plan to call out lawmakers. Carl Scholze is coming from Neenah, and he's driving his motorized wheelchair the entire way.
And then we're going to head into Madison. This ought to be fun.
The 44-year-old is quadriplegic, and Quad Carl, as he's known, says if health care cuts are made, he doesn't know what he'll do. Medicare covers his wheelchair and doctor's visits. Medicaid pays for his health aides so he can remain in his home. He is asking legislators for new proposals.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay with another practice in pads before tomorrow night's family night inside Lambeau Field. On defense, it appears that Keyshawn Nixon and newcomer Nate Hobbs are in the lead as the two defensive backs at corner. Baseball, the Brewers against the Nationals tonight in Washington, D.C. Jose Quintana against the Nationals left-hander Mitchell Parker. The Brewers making some moves before the trade deadline, including sending pitcher Nestor Cortez to San Diego for outfielder Brandon Lockridge. It looks like Jackson Churio will be out for a while with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, we're hanging in there. That's all there's to it. We've been injured all year long, whether it's, you know, the guys, that the 12 pitchers that weren't available when we started, you know, the Mitchell, the Perkins, the guys we've been without. We're out with Sal for a while. Hopefully we're not without Churio. You know, like all that stuff.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. We'll get to 74 this afternoon. Tonight down to 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 58.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins the show to talk about the launch of her campaign for governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's 7:06. It's a Friday morning. It is the first day of August, 2025. Welcome to the dog days of summer. I'm Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson produces our little festival of radio down at Madison Studio A2. And Brittany Merlot will have our forecast in just a bit. Coming up this hour yet, we'll have our Week in Review panel. Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel. Next hour, we'll be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She will be talking about her decision to run for governor, talk about her background as a nurse and as a healthcare leader before deciding to run for a seat in the legislature. We'll ask her what prompted that, had something to do with the way the pandemic was being handled by certain politicians, and what she would do if she were to be elected governor of the state of Wisconsin in November of next year. So that is all coming up 1 hour from now. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along next hour as well. Mike Clemens will have sports. We've got the Packer training camp. We've got the Brewers with a big series against the Washington Nationals this weekend in the nation's capital, which reminds me, it's Free Ticket Friday. This is your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to a Brewers game. All you have to do is listen, get our keyword, use that Civic Media app, and text that keyword to us before the end of the show at 9 a.m. You'll be entered in a statewide contest for 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Mets game next Friday evening, August 8th. You have to be able to receive and use electronic tickets on your phone. And again, you need to text us this keyword, FLY. FLY, F-L-Y. Just text that. Don't text anything else. Just text that and you'll get into a drawing for a 4-pack of club-level seats. Remember, you can get the Civic Media app at the Apple or Google stores. Find the station, use the text button, and listen throughout the day. More chances to win. After all, last week's winner, Jim at Brookfield, listened to and got 4 different keywords. And I have no idea which keyword was the one that was pulled that made him a winner. But I'm taking credit for it because, you know, who's going to stop me? On the text line, oh, look, it's Jim in Brookfield. Congratulations, Pat, on 3 successful years on Civic Media. You've provided common sense and a voice of reason in this unstable world of media that we have today. Many more years to come. Thank you, Jim. Yes, we started this as Up North News Radio 3 years ago today, August 1st of 2022, as an 8 to 11 in the morning show. Shortly thereafter, we moved to 6 to 8 in the morning, and now recently 6 to 9 a.m., and it's been a heck of a lot of fun for all 614 shows all this time. Only 614. Brittany feels like it's been 1,000 or more, but she keeps coming back for more, and we appreciate every little bit of it. How's Brittany today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, except that, I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. This smoke is a downer. It just is. Yeah. It's a buzzkill. And not just from the, you know, the psychological aspect, you know, it's like a fog that never lifts. But if you have to go outside at all, even if you're young and healthy, you feel it right away in your eyes or someplace. And so it's a reminder that it's more than a nuisance. It's something to take seriously.
It really is. I mean, we've got this wildfire particles that have maxed out. I mean, yesterday morning, early in the morning, Door County areas far northeast in the state, your particles were at about 225. That is very unhealthy levels. We were the worst pollution, you know, air pollution in the world yesterday. That even leaked down towards Milwaukee. Madison felt that as well. Just that nasty, nasty haze blocking the sunshine. It was actually clear skies yesterday, but you could barely see it in a lot of places because it looked like a fog, just a, you know, kind of a thin overcast blocking that sunshine. And a lot of people are kind of getting fed up because it's not the conditions to open up the windows and get some free AC while these temperatures are comfortable, right? This is the time we're usually trying to save some money on that electric bill, and we're not able to because we're keeping the AC on and windows closed to keep that stuff out. Air purifiers are good too, filters too, just different ways to help yourself. But of course, try to stay inside and limit wild activity, right? I'm not going out there and biking and hiking. I am staying put and staying inside because it is affecting me too. I walk outside and I get a massive headache. Unfortunately, we are still in an active air quality alert through at least noon today. Unfortunately, I do think it's going to linger here to some capacity through the entire weekend. Hopefully not unhealthy levels. Hopefully it'll be thinning out as we go through the afternoon and into tomorrow. But the high pressure system that brought it here isn't moving. That's why we're in this dry stretch. So I do think a lot of it is going to kind of stick around. Right now it is worse further north and west in the state. It is starting to ease up to decent moderate levels in towards the lakeshore of Lake Michigan, Milwaukee, and Madison. You're seeing some relief there. So hopefully that'll continue to lift north. But again, keep in mind parts could start to spike as we go into the weekend still. High pressure keeps us nice and dry. Mid to upper 70s today, upper 70s tomorrow, and into the rest of the weekend. We turn a little bit more muggy next week, and the rain holds off until at least Monday night far north and into Tuesday for the rest of us.
It is so pleasant temperature-wise. And just so, and again, it's going to be not rainy. So I dropped the top on the Jeep. You know, this would be the best time of year to have, you know, just an open air ride. And we did go for a drive yesterday, and it wasn't the same because of the haze out there. And of course, driving home, the sunset, I mean, they always say you can only look at the sun through, like, you know, smoked glass or something like that.
Yeah.
The smoke was so thick, it essentially served as that. Now, again, don't stare right at the sun, kids, but I mean, you could never see a sunset that quote unquote clear, but that, you know, brilliantly pink as through the smoke that we've had here. It was Star Wars-esque, essentially. Yes. It was like being in a science fiction movie. It really has been.
So, and that's the positive. The one positive I can find is beautiful sunrise, sunset pictures, but the rest
We get that. Yes. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. It's hazy, smoky sunshine and 49 degrees. I mowed 3 yards in rural Tigerton. Despite the smoke, it had a September feel outside. Today, I got a yard to mow and then run some errands. That smoke does really tire you out. When I got home from work, I sat down on my recliner and fell asleep for 2 hours. I totally get that. We had Rick Springfield last segment in our history lesson. When I hear Rick Springfield, I always crank up the radio. I remember going to Pizza Hut with my family. I always played Rick Springfield on the jukebox. And you know, I like the nostalgia posts that go up about Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut in the 80s was as kitschy as it gets, and we loved it. With the fake old-timey feel, the stained glass, the jukebox, you usually had Ms. Pac-Man as a video game to play. It was a definite slice of time back then.
That sounds awesome.
It was awesome. Rob says, thank you, Pat, for your service at Civic Media. Hope for many more years of service. Also notes that he's been getting migraine headaches in recent days working outside. And Tony on YouTube says, hey, 1990s too. So Pizza Hut stayed kitschy well into the 90s, which is it's true, because I remember they were doing the read a book thing where you'd get the coupons for Pizza Hut if you read so many books. And our daughters would bring those home all the time.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, look, we're having pizza again. Okay. Now I kind of miss it, you know. Let's see, from Tom in Hartford on the text line, I thought I saw a 39-degree reading up by Land O'Lakes.
I was just going to say, when Rob called out the 49-degree, I was like, oh, I forgot to say, 39 degrees in Kings right now.
Wow. What?
Yeah. I was warning for the cranberry marshes about frost because, you know, the marshes are cooler. They're lower. Yeah. They're likely getting some frost this morning.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I know.
Brittany, we appreciate the update. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Stay away from those headaches. There are a lot of fairs and festivals going on this weekend. There is, of course, the Wisconsin State Fair, which got started yesterday in West Allis. There is the Head of the Lakes Fair in Superior, the Jackson County Fair in Black River Falls. Now, that's the one Selena Heller will certainly be at. That's her hometown county fair, where she talks about the Combine Demolition Derby. Yes, where people take combines off of farms, not new ones, and smash them into each other. It's big fun to watch. I saw the video of it. Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau runs through tomorrow. The rest of these run through Sunday. The Iron County Fair up in Saxon, the Ozaukee County Fair in Cedarburg, Buffalo Pepin County Fair in Mondovi, the Green Lake County Fair in Green Lake, and the Winnebago County Fair in Oshkosh. There's no shortage either of some of the more, shall we say, community festivals that are going on out there. And you can head over to travelwisconsin.com, and you can just simply put in a date range, and up will come things like, well, today is the Bonduelle Lions Club Corn Roast. Tonight is the Downtown Beloit Street Dance. There's Blues on the Chippewa. That's underway in Durand. Jack Pine Savage Days in Spooner. There's a Saluting Our Heroes Balloon Rally in Rhinelander this weekend. Brat Days in Sheboygan. There's Goat Fest in Jefferson. That one intrigues me. Tomorrow, National Mustard Day is celebrated in Middleton, home of the Mustard Museum that's out there. And, I mean, just so much. Oh, here's one. Wisconsin IPA Fest in Milwaukee, it says here, is tomorrow. Parker, you know the best way to handle an IPA when it's been served to you, right?
Drink it quickly.
No, you pour it right down into the drain. That's exactly how you handle an IPA. I know.
Yeah.
Sacrilege. I get people mad every time when that comes up.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the IPA.
They're all more hoppy than a zoo full of kangaroos. You have to really like what you like for that.
Yeah.
But it depends on your palate. Look, I think scotch tastes like gasoline. I've sipped what people say is the finest scotch out there, and I'm pretty sure I would get more miles per gallon in the Jeep. But, you know, bourbon, which is not that much different, you can taste that. So beer drinkers as well, people like what they like.
Yeah, and I like beer.
If you like an IPA, well, there you go. There's the festival for you coming up. The Brewers were off yesterday. They are headed toward Washington, D.C. They're there now for a series against the Washington Nationals, and they are still on top of the National League Central Division by a game over the Cubs. Are you working Madison Mallard games this weekend?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, go look at them there.
Yes, sir. All right. Better not be smoky tonight.
No, I got bad news for you. Sorry about that. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea, has an article about Congressman Brian Stile holding an in-person town hall. So you got to give him a little credit for that. But he was met with consistent booing last night as scores of attendees jeered the Janesville Republican over his support for President Donald Trump's policies. Stile, it says in the newspaper article here, struggled to get through answers from a crowd of more than 250 people gathered in the Elkhorn Area High School auditorium. Many interjected with yells of disagreement over everything from border security to tariffs to Trump's recently signed mega bill. It was the first in-person town hall for any Wisconsin Republican since House Republican leadership in March advised members to avoid in-person events. It was Stile's first in-person session since January. Stile, in the article it says here from Lawrence Andrea, backed Trump's efforts on immigration. He defended the administration's dismantling of the Department of Education, and he stood by Trump's use of tariffs. He mentioned the national debt as a challenge facing the country, and one attendee yelled, "Thanks to you." And that, to me, I mean, it negates any goodwill that Congressman Stile did by having an in-person town hall. I mean, you know, there's expressions I could use, but I can't use on the radio. But don't tell somebody that the national debt is a problem when you just voted to make it $4 trillion worse. A local update is next for some of you and our Week in Review panel coming up here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 174-year-old Wisconsin State Fair is underway and is a finalist for USA Today's 10 Best list. Could it be the Cream Puffs? Here's Christy Chuckle with the fair.
The Cream Puff was created to showcase the dairy industry in Wisconsin.
The story of Cream Puffs never gets old, and now renovations of the former Cream Puff Pavilion, renamed the Dairy Building, will show off a new kitchen and more.
Watch them being made right there, right before you buy them. That's why they're so delicious.
The bakers known as Team Cream Puff will be able to crank out more than 400,000 during the fair. They're even adding chocolate cream puffs for the first time. And it turns out there's a secret to eating them.
Just twist, open it. It doesn't necessarily squish all over, but some people just like to go for it.
So go for it and enjoy the tasty history of the state fair. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Happy Friday. We made it to the weekend. And here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Face it, we live in a world where we can get bogged down in national politics all the time. But it was former Speaker of the House Tip O'Neill who said all politics are local, and it's important to stay in touch with the local representation. Which is why Don Rosen has Racine City Mayor Corey Mason in once a month to talk about everything that's going on in the city and in the community, to give updates on new projects, business openings, or events taking place around the Bell City.
All right, now. Let's get right down to business here. No. let's first talk about our sister city, brand new sister city.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a few sister cities, but our newest one, the council just passed a resolution at the last council meeting to make Brantford, Ontario, our next sister city. This came about, I'm part of the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Initiatives, and we were at the conference, earlier this year, and just talking to a number of mayors. You know, strangely, just given the national politics right now, Canada, which is usually our friendliest and, you know, longest neighbor, has some tensions right now just with going on in the news. And so the decision was made at this conference that, hey, maybe we should, you know, create some sister city relationships between Canadian Great Lakes cities and American Great Lakes cities. And so I happened to bump into the mayor of Brantford, Ontario, literally on an elevator. And I think by the time we got to the floor that we're doing on, we decided, well, let's become sister cities. And, you know, they're a town of about 100,000 people and have sort of similar demographics. And, you know, they're about 70 miles from Toronto, and, you know, we're about 70 miles from Chicago. So a lot in common. And a common love for the Great Lakes. So our council has passed the resolution, and we anticipate that their council will do so in turn, and then we'll have our next sister city.
So that summit was done on an elevator.
It was.
The elevator summit.
It was. People say you got to have an elevator speech to get something. That was the elevator speech about why Brantford and Racine should be.
A lot of people don't talk on an elevator. Yeah. They're quiet. They face forward and keep their mouth shut. But yeah. Not you. Good for you. Okay, what is the benefit to being a sister city?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we have another sister city that's actually visiting now. This is Owiso, Japan. So there's some high school students from Owiso that are visiting right now for a couple weeks. The purpose behind it was started after World War II. And it was really with the idea of Japan and Germany had gone to war three times in the course of about 80 or 90 years. And the sister city program was put together, the idea being maybe if people in sisters in cities of neighboring countries got to know each other personally and visited each other and had exchanges with each other, there would be less of a chance of future wars. And so that's the premise behind it. And so not surprisingly, there's more sister cities between France and Germany than any other two countries. But the city of Racine has a sister city in Aalborg, Denmark. We have a sister city in...
I didn't know the Denmark one.
Yeah. Montelimar, France is our longest one. That was set up in 1947, shortly after World War II. We have one in Mexico and one in Owiso, Japan, and now Brantford, Ontario. So we're excited to do the exchanges with them. And, you know, just given the mood with tariffs and some of the other national discussions going on right now, it's been helpful at a sister city level to still reach out to our friends in other cities and saying, hey, somebody else might be talking about invading Greenland, but it's not us here at the local level, reaching out to the folks in Denmark and making it clear that we want to have good lines of communication and diplomacy at a city-to-city level.
All right, let's talk about Clean Sweep.
Yeah, so this is the first one that we did. I learned about it at another conference I was at with a group of mayors that were meeting with the Bloomberg Cities initiatives. But the idea was, hey, you pick like four blocks in the neighborhood that could use a little bit of love in the public domain and help clean it up a little bit. So this is everything from replacing sidewalk squares to, you know, trimming overgrown bushes to replacing the garbage bins if they need to be replaced to, you know, patching up potholes. So, you know, we get everybody from DPW and the Parks Department and the fire department's there. The fire department went, knocked on every door and installed smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors in the homes. And it was just us being there for two full days, cleaning up the neighborhood, replacing fences and mending fences. And, you know, in a couple yards, you know, they get these bushes that are, you know, way overgrown. You can't even see the house anymore. Sometimes it's an elderly person who might live there. And so we were able to trim those back. And, you know, the fire department pointed out it's really important from a fire safety perspective, if the tree or bushes have gotten so overgrown, they can't even see the windows on the second floor.
Or the house number.
Yeah, yeah. So all those things become... So it was a big success. We had about 80 city employees that spent the 2 days down there doing various cleanup. The neighbors were thrilled. And it's a project we will do one more of them this year. It's a pilot project, but it's we'll do another one in October. And I think it's been successful enough that we will make it something that we do every year.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you mentioned something about the health center.
So a couple really exciting things going on with the community center health clinic. Number one, the new one that's being built, it'll be done, you know, late next year, but it's going vertical, right? So they spent all this time digging a big hole and putting the basement in. But, you know, you look at it, and it's like, oh, it's a hole in the ground, right? But now it's actually going vertical and you can see the skeleton of the building is going up. And so that's really exciting. But as exciting, and the idea is that this is going to be a federally qualified health clinic. But to do that, you need an FQHC provider to do that.
Now, what is that?
The federally qualified health clinic is what will go into the health clinic, but it is a federally subsidized clinic for people who have no or are underinsured or have no insurance. And they can go in, you know, for $20 or $30 and see a physician or a dentist or get mental health care. And so most communities have these. We're the biggest city in the Midwest that doesn't have one. Until now. So Pillar Health, which runs an FQHC in Kenosha and Walworth County and now Racine County, has opened up in Julian Thomas School at the garden level. That's always been the plan. This was going to be sort of the temporary space that they would do to sort of establish themselves in the neighborhood while we're building the larger clinic. And so they opened just last week and are open from 7 to 4 Monday through Friday. And so if people need to see a physician or a nurse practitioner, they have people available to do that.
That was just a small sample of the conversation Don Rosen had with Racine City Mayor Corey Mason. And you can find out more and get that entire discussion by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show, and then you can download that episode directly to your device, listening to it anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Wisconsin's largest farm show, Farm Technology Days, is moving forward with a nod to the dairy industry. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Along with you on a Friday morning, Janet Keller is the new general manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. She tells us that she thinks future shows will put more emphasis on dairy.
Obviously, we're in the heart of dairy here in Wisconsin. That's what our main infrastructure is built around. Most of our research, our university system, as well as our technical school system, features a lot of dairy-related learning and research and techniques and new ways of thinking about how to tackle the issues on the farm. And so we think that's where the most opportunity for growth and thriving into the future for this show is.
The 2025 Wisconsin Farm Technology Days is on a dairy farm, Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. The show is August 5th, 6th, and 7th. We'll see you there. Janet Keller along with us, the new general manager of Farm Tech Days. Stick around for more agribusiness news next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On the close yesterday from Chicago, cash corn was up 2.25 cents at $3.94 a bushel. December new crop corn up a penny and a half at $4.13¾. Cash beans were 6 cents lower, closing at $9.61¾. November new crop beans down 6½ at $9.89¼. And new crop wheat down a half a penny at $5.23¼. On the dairy side of the equation, the 40-pound block cheese closed up a penny at $1.68¼. Double A butter sat neutral after a roller coaster week at $2.47¼ per pound. Don't forget to follow along with all things agribusiness news at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter to get farm news delivered to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have a good weekend.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. We'll get to 74 this afternoon. Tonight down to 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number three. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off taking the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer. We've got you covered everywhere in the state. Enjoy highlights from recent shows and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Free Ticket Friday, you can win Brewers tickets. We're having a statewide drawing after several keywords on several shows throughout the day here. This particular show's keyword is fly, as in, you know, a fly ball out to center field, F-L-Y. Text that using the Civic Media app, and you could be in the running for 4 Brewers tickets to next Friday night's game, Brewers versus the Mets. You have to be able to receive electronic tickets on your phone and use them. If so, use that Civic Media app and text us the word fly. Continuing with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, all here as part of our Week in Review. There are stories that I just know would be different if there was an R next to it or a D next to it instead of an R. One of the most egregious ones, Jim, Justice Department dismisses case against a Trump donor. In early April, Donald Trump's White House, according to MSNBC, fired a career federal prosecutor in California because a right-wing influencer told the president that he should. Nearly 4 months later, Trump's Justice Department has dropped a case against the restaurant group Fat Brands and its chairman Andy Wiederhorn, which was the case the prosecutor was working on at the time of his ouster. He happens to be a five-figure donor to the Trump campaign. I don't know, coincidence or not. It is tough to give this Justice Department the benefit of the doubt in making decisions on Trump donors, Jim.
And because they act this way, we shouldn't give them any benefit of the doubt here at all. This is yet another illustration, both the termination of a civil servant, let's not forget that, who's doing his job in prosecuting cases, and also the erasure, this complete busting down of any wall that previously existed, even to some extent in Trump one term, between the White House and the Department of Justice. You do not want a president, for precisely these reasons, picking up the phone and calling people at Maine Justice and saying, I want this person prosecuted, I want this case suspended, I want this to stop. This is another example of that. And it not only undermines the basic focus of the Department of Justice, it produces situations where justice is not being accomplished criminally, civilly, when it comes to the ways in which we enforce our laws. If a president of the United States of America can now, as he is doing, use the Department of Justice to reward his friends, punish his enemies, that's not a Department of Justice, the only agency that has its name and aspiration. That is something else not working for us. It's another example of the diminution of that relationship between the White House and the appropriate relationship with people and the Department of Justice, and more of that to come, certainly in the next 3.5 years.
So moving that from the Department of Justice, Mark, to the newsrooms, Andy Wiederhorn is this guy's name. You can look up his public support. We've seen the pardons that Trump has given to people who have been supporters or donors. I feel like the American public should know the name of Andy Wiederhorn as well as they know Hunter Biden's name, because this and all these are such naked corruption. And yet, again, I feel like the news stories they would do if there were a Democrat in the White House are not... There seems to be a reason why I'm only seeing this on MSNBC's website.
Well, to me, the most alarming thing is that this has become normalized in the news media. You know, it's like, well, all right, so Trump rewarded one of his friends with a pardon, or ordered the dropping of an investigation or of charges. I mean, the Eric Adams thing in New York City is like a gigantic scandal. If that had happened in Democratic administration, you know, if you had killed an investigation or killed after an indictment, if you had decided to drop the case because just to help for someone to help you on some sort of policy matter, that would have been an enormous scandal. And so I think that the corruption, Trump's corruption, is so obvious to the news media that they've decided it's normal. And that, and the lack of this kind of maintained outrage about things like that is one of the things that's really kind of causing us to slide into fascism. It's just, when you start tolerating those things, the people get away with it more and more, and the public just kind of, you know, turns off.
Jennifer, the way that we've normalized it, it also deals with framing things under Trump's actions. All right, here's the Associated Press headline. President Trump calls GOP Senator Josh Hawley second tier after a bill to ban stock trades in government advances. So the story is about, you know, Trump criticizing a Republican senator rather than Trump is standing in the way of a popular bill to stop members of Congress from gambling on Wall Street. But we frame it as Trump going on the on offense against a fellow Republican. That's not the greater issue here.
Well, the media generally has made a mistake covering every aspect of Trump from the start, right? So that's no surprise. I do think a big part of the problem is that there is a media outrage machine only on one side of the aisle, and it is huge. And I would argue it sets the agenda for what the news media covers and how outraged people are, how continuous the coverage is, you know. And when stories live and die in the regular media, it's because mostly, I think, of how right-wing media covers it. If right-wing media wants to get crazy, for example, about the Sydney Sweeney ad and make up a story about that so that they don't have to talk about Epstein, that will work its way into regular media. They set the agenda, and it's really unfortunate because what they want to talk about and what they don't want to talk about is mostly what's breaking through to America, I think.
You reposted something from The Atlantic, and the headline there was Republicans want to redraw America's political map. And we spoke in our last hour with Matt Henney from Courier, Texas, about the legislature, you know, once again gerrymandering the Texas map. And you posted it with this alternative headline: Republicans want to seize power and never give it up. That seems to me a bit more honest than Republicans want to redraw America's political map. Redrawing a map does not sound nearly as nefarious as this actually would be.
Well, and part of the problem, too, is that gerrymandering, I know you guys know it well in Wisconsin, and it's talked about a lot there, but it's not really a hot topic in a lot of the country. And I get to guess most people don't know what it means, and they surely don't know the impacts of it. So that's a story that's a five-alarm fire, what's happening in Texas with the map and the impact on the whole country. And I think there's a lot more work to be done on that to make sure that people are aware of what it means and how it could impact so many things. And so, yeah, when I saw that Atlantic headline, the story itself explains what's going on in Texas, but it's bigger than that. And so it's kind of like, you know, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, this is could be a national problem, like what just happened in El Salvador. They just voted to basically make a president for life. Well, I kind of feel like we are heading in that direction.
It definitely has that feel to it, especially when you see how this wasn't even on Texas legislators' radar initially, and certainly not to this level till Trump said, do this, and they immediately fell into line. Jim, we talked in the last hour about this. I mean, Democratic lawmakers, you know, could walk out. They could, you know, flee the state again, but it only delays the inevitable. Where are we from the standpoint of challenging such obvious political corruption in our maps? Are they feeling that good about where the court system is these days that they can draw a map this bad?
They shouldn't be, because you do have both state courts and federal courts who are looking at these kinds of things and addressing whether or not there is, again, inappropriate racial gerrymandering. We know political gerrymandering is no longer on the agenda of the federal courts. That's as a result of the Supreme Court a number of years ago. But courts are still looking at these things. Interestingly, you may recall just in this past term, the Supreme Court, in a case coming out of Louisiana, decided not to decide and bumped that one into the coming term. That's a very interesting case to take a look at come the fall and into next year to determine whether or not the basis, the purpose for redrawing Louisiana lines was racially motivated. It has to do with a number of Black predominant majority districts in that state. The courts are still wrestling with this. The other thing I would offer is, you know, as we've talked before so many times, state legislatures, the federal legislature can, if it wants, and yes, I know we've got to have the numbers to do it, do oversight of these things. Let's have some inquiries on Capitol Hill and here in the state of Wisconsin, in Madison, addressing these issues. What is going on? It should be geared ultimately towards some legislative purpose, but it can simply be informative and describing for the legislators what is happening among their constituents. Those kinds of things should be moving ahead. Obviously, in the present Congress, we don't have that because the majority, maybe when the 120th Congress is sworn in early January of 2027, there will be a movement to get more oversight on all of this.
Perhaps. A lot of this serves as a distraction from the economic turmoil out there. And I say that because the new jobless figures just came out for the month of July, and anemic doesn't begin to describe it. Non-farm payroll for July up only 73,000 jobs. That is, again, like we were saying yesterday with Sean O'Malley, it's not a recession. But don't give Donald Trump credit for us not being in a recession and for only taking us to the precipice of one. Mark, you reposted an article about how a newly declassified part of the so-called Durham report shows that Republicans used a Russian manufactured email as evidence, quote unquote, that Hillary Clinton conspired with Russia. I mean, again, this should be a blockbuster headline that Republicans either enabled themselves to be duped or willingly used false information. I haven't read this enough to know which one it is, but neither one is a good look.
No, and isn't it interesting that we're just finding out about this now?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Durham report, you know, was years ago. And it's all part of the attempt by the right wing to pretend that the Russian involvement never happened. You know, I mean, their ability or their attempt at least to erase history, you know, to just completely rewrite the facts is amazing. It's very Soviet. I mean, it's very much, you know, kind of it's Orwellian, really, you know, to let's pretend something didn't happen, because, you know, that meeting at Trump Tower with the Russians did happen. We know it happened. A lot of Russian officials were indicted by Mueller after his investigation. I mean, we know there was involvement there. And for this Trump to say Russia, 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 and that's just code for the right wing thinking that the whole thing was made up, when we know it wasn't made up. It wasn't. And for them to try to erase history is really scary, because if they can do that, they can erase everything. I mean, as a journalist, the assault on facts is the scariest thing to me. The fact that because if you don't have a shared set of facts in a society, you can't have a functioning democracy. You just can't. And their assault on things that are demonstrably true is frightening.
It comes back to, again, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, and maybe he was or wasn't the first one to say, you are entitled to your opinion, but you are not entitled to your own facts. And that is not the world we live in anymore. I mean, facts are still facts, but there are some people that feel like they have their own facts. And if they just say them enough, enough people will believe them to keep them in power. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For the rest, whether you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube or the Civic Media app, we're going to continue yapping here for a few minutes more with a Week in Review panel. And then we'll all be back together here at 8:05. And at that point, we are going to be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez about her run for governor. It's been 8 days now since Governor Tony Evers announced he would not be running for a third term. Sarah Rodriguez is the first Democrat to announce, and we're going to learn all about that coming up right after the 8:00 news here on these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you know me, you know that I love baseball. I'm a huge Brewers fan, love watching games, love going to games, can talk about baseball all day long, every day. I love the game. And part of that love is the history of the game, which also includes the history of the Negro League. And on Earl Ingram's new show, What's Going On, he spoke with Dennis Biddle, who is the youngest person to ever play for the league. He's now 90 years old, and he joined Earl to have a conversation where he reflected on his lifetime of breaking barriers, preserving Black baseball history, and sharing his wisdom for the next generation.
What was it about that baseball that made you want to stick with baseball?
Okay, at an early age, I had read a book. This was a sport book, and I read about Satcher Paige and Jesse Owens and Blacks in sports. And I was amazed that we could. I got a chance to do what they did, you know. Never forget Satcher Paige. I read about him. He had 1,000 different pitches.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a pitcher now, you know. And Jesse Owen, the things he was, he did. So I was just, that book put me into sports. And I'll never forget my, like I told you, my first that box. I grabbed that baseball because I knew that ball and a glove. I grabbed a glove and I kept it for a long time, that ball and the glove. But basketball was the main sport in our school. Right. Then the coach started trying to have a baseball team. Well, all other schools tried it too. And I was very successful there because I was above them.
Right.
I had developed a pitch. I call it a drop. They call them sinkers now, and sliders in the major league. Right. But back then, those kids couldn't hit it. The ball would be on the ground, and they swinging over it, you know. And I used that throughout my career, really. But back then, I gained respect from my whole of school.
Yeah.
Bill pitching today, hold on. We ain't going to get no hit today.
As a very young boy.
Yeah, real young. And so, once Jack had opened that door now, I felt that now we got a chance to play in the major league.
Well, Jackie opening the door is farther down the road from where I am with you. At 14 years old, you were being offered money to pitch and with adults.
Yeah, there was an adult team in my hometown. I did not know. I knew they had a team because I used to go watch them play.
Right.
Sneak and watch them play. But as I grew older and started playing myself, I was offered. They heard about me throwing that curveball, and the manager named Dan Shangerton, he offered me 75 cents if I would pitch the game for him that day. And I accepted, but I was supposed to be at church. Because I grew up in the church.
Right.
My mom and dad were very, very religious. And early in life, we were told playing ball was a sin. But they used that as a game, as gambling. And that was what they called a sin, you know. And finally, my brother told me, ain't no sin to play ball. Once he told me that, that was it.
So 75 cents. Back then was a lot of money.
Yes, it was a lot of money. But I didn't get my first 75 cents because my dad
dreamed to go
to church, and he came, got me out. I was warming up on the mound. I'll never forget it. I'm warming up, and he, come on, boy. And I had to go to church. I went to church. But the next week, the team was going to Spring Hill Louisiana. And he said, you're gonna go, I'll give you 75 cents. So I went, got my 75 cents that time. My dad never said anything else to me about playing ball. Earl, I was an all-star baseball, all-star basketball, all-star football player. And not one time did my parents see me play.
So what do you attribute that to? Was it that too hard to get to where you were playing, the fact that you had other siblings, or that they just didn't believe in what you were doing?
Well, at first, it was a religious thing at first. And they finally said, well, he's going to play anyway. So they didn't bother me anymore about playing. But they were always throw up in my face because a white kid in football had got hit and died. And they used that as a dangerous sport. But they never told me not to play. They didn't. They tell me I'm going to do it now. They accepted the fact that I was going to play sports now. But they never came to see me play a game.
That was just a small sample of the history of Dennis Biddle. If you'd like to hear more, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Earl's new program, What's Going On, and you can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime you'd like. You can also go to your podcast distribution center of choice and subscribe to it there. That way it will be delivered to your device anytime a new episode is available. And while you're there, subscribe to other Civic Media shows and listen to us on the go. Stay tuned, because after the news break, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins Pat to talk about her candidacy for governor, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly will preview her show coming up this weekend. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUK Radio and subscribe to our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. We've gotten a brand new read on the jobs market, and it is slowing down to a crawl. The Commerce Department says employees added just 73,000 positions in July. 73,000, even less than the 100 to 120,000 many analysts were expecting. It compares to 147,000 jobs added in June. Most gains were in health care, social assistance, with losses in federal government positions. There are standouts. Economist Diane Swonk.
The only outlier has been in the tech sector, where they are doing layoffs, but the war on AI talent has caused a bidding war where, you know, some people are getting a lot of money that is pushing up wages in that one sector very rapidly.
Unemployment for July up to 4.2% from 4.1% in June. Again, jobs added last month, just 73,000. CBS News special report.